Attention Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and bring in our guest as the Browns get ready to take on the Buccaneers, a man who knows Tampa Bay very well, Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times and the host of the sports page on 620 WDAE in Tampa. Rick, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Rick, this Tampa team 1-6. You look at the stats, they're not pretty. 32nd in offense, 32nd in defense. They trade Mark Barron this week for a couple picks. What's kind of the mood of this team about the Barron trade and just in general heading into this weekend's game against the Browns?
Well, I think there's, you know, two perceptions. The fans' perception is, of course, that the team has begun to look ahead to 2015 at 1-6. And I think, you know, certainly there's an aspect of that. I think internally, though, you know, Lovie Smith has done a good job of keeping these guys focused on the short term. You know, it's easy to get caught up in, oh, the, you know, woe is me, the record is bad, and all that stuff. The NFC South is so bad that, you know, from a mathematical standpoint, they're certainly not out of anything. But they just have to play better football, and they know it. I think last week, you know, they took some steps towards that direction defensively. Unfortunately, they gave up a two-minute drive to tie the game, and then a fumble lost it in overtime. And offensively, they've struggled. I mean, they're sort of a mess on the offensive line. It looks like they'll be without Anthony Collins, their left tackle, who's played poorly the last 2 weeks. Maybe a guy that your guys are familiar with, O'Neal Cousins, may have to start there. So, I mean, you know, Doug Martin could be out. They have some injury issues that's hurting them as well, and it all starts up front as far as the way they're playing. But, you know, it's not a team that's moping around, that's ready to mail it in. You know, I think Lovie's got them, you know, focused on, you know, the task at hand, and you know, they'll give their best shot in Cleveland.
Something that we've made a point of talking about our own personnel in Joe Hayden and Buster Skrine, as well as potential nickel K'Wan Williams, is that matchup with those giant wide receivers, 6'5", 230 Vincent Jackson, and 6'5", 230-pound Mike Evans, first round draft pick, fourth overall this season. Is that a matchup that you look for Mike Glennon and this offense to exploit this week?
Well, yeah, I mean, they'll try to, certainly. Those are their better players. And you also have, you know, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, who's their tight end, that's also 6'5". When Jason Light drafted Evans and Seferian-Jenkins, he knew he had Vincent Jackson. He called them the Dunkineers. I mean, all these guys have basketball backgrounds, and they're very good at bodying up defensive backs. Now, that said, pass protection has been a big issue, right? So they're going to have to run the ball in order to stay out of those predictable passing downs, because they've given up 10 sacks in the last 2 weeks. And Mike Glennon has, you know, some real arm talent, and he's very good from the pocket, but he's not very good if you get pressure up inside and get him on the move. So it's going to be, you know, really up to the entire offense to give those guys an opportunity to create those matchups. And we've seen Mike Evans get better each week, guys. I mean, he's really probably had his best game last week, and certainly a guy that, you know, Johnny Manziel's familiar with, and people that follow Texas A&M. So, I mean, they do have some talent on the outside. Their trouble is trying to find ways to get them with the right matchups and get the ball in their hands.
Rick, you talked about the ground game being important, and we're joined now by Rick Stroud from the Tampa Times here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You talked about the ground game. Doug Martin injured last week. Looks like he won't go. You got Bobby Rainey. Is this the week we see Charles Sims? How do you see kind of that backfield playing out?
Well, Bobby Rainey's going to get the lion's share of the carries, someone that the Browns are familiar with. I think that he's actually done a better job than Doug Martin in the running game this year, and Doug's had some injuries. He's got another ankle sprain now, but aside from that, you know, with the exception of putting the ball on the ground in Atlanta, I think that's been an issue with Bobby, but he's run the ball better. He's been more patient in terms of pressing the hole and been more explosive in the running game, averaging close to 5 yards a carry, where Doug Martin is 2.9. So, you know, in many ways, they may be more effective with him right now. If Charles Sims, their third-round pick from West Virginia, is able to play, he's a bigger back and a guy that's, you know, very explosive, but is also, you know, can be physical, can make people miss, can run through some traffic, and is an exceptional receiver. He has terrific hands. They were real excited about him in the preseason, but he had a sort of ligament situation with his foot late in the preseason. Had to have surgery, so they put him on the injured reserve, you know, designated for return. He's practiced 2 weeks. I think they want to be a little bit cautious with him. So I'm not sold on whether he's going to play or not. I think that's going to be a game-time decision. But if he does, certainly they'll have a role for him.
Rick, Joe Giravicious, I hope you're doing well, buddy.
Hey, Joe, how are you, man?
I'm living a dream, man. In
Cleveland, I know you
Ohio,
are.
Buddy.
Great to talk to you. Now, there's a Super Bowl hero, folks.
There you go.
Well, make me blush over here. But, Rick, you know, it's interesting. We had a lot of success. You know, the guys in the late 90s and early parts of 2000 and obviously the Super Bowl. Do you think the coaching carousel, that you know, the Raheem Morris, the front man, the general managers, the Mark Dominics and everybody else that's changed there, obviously Greg Schiano, do you think a lot of that has really hurt where this franchise is going? Or do you think that Lovie Smith is the piece, a guy that's been around that Buccaneer defense and had a lot of success there with the Monty Kiffins and the Rod Marinellis? Do you think that this is the right fit for the Buccaneers to move forward?
I do, Joe, and I think you nailed it, really. You know, organizations usually win or lose, and when you were part of the Bucs, the Blazers had taken over, and they made this into a great organization when Malcolm was alive, and, right. and hiring Tony Dungy, they sort of changed the culture, starting with the defense, and then John Gruden came in, brought yourself and some other guys, and held the offense accountable, and that's how you won a Super Bowl. But there was continuity in the coaching staff even after Tony left, particularly on the defensive side, and you just don't have that. I mean, you know, the Browns are battling with that now. They've had three coaches in 3 years, this franchise 3 and 4 years. And I think what's good about Lovie, and it hasn't happened as quickly as anyone would have liked, but, you know, people in Tampa Bay should know what he's about. You know, he started his coaching career here. They followed him to St. Louis and Chicago. They know what he's about. So, you know, you're going to have to be patient, but the buy-in should be a lot more quick. But it has. I mean, you know, every time you change coach, you change schemes. That means you have to change personnel. That's how you lose draft picks. You lose whole drafts in some instances. They just traded Mark Barron. So, yeah, it has definitely set them back. And if they can stay with Lovie and the guys that he's brought in here, he has some good coaches and Leslie Frazier. What knocked them, Joe, and you know how critical this is, you lose a play caller in Jeff Tedford before he ever called a snap. And, you know, he's a guy that Lovie sat with and wanted to be the coordinator, had a hard situation in the preseason, and could not come back. Right. So now they turn to Marcus Arroyo, who's a 34-year-old kid, never called a play in the NFL. And, you know, so it's been tough. Talk about continuity. There's a change of continuity right at the start of a season. So all those things, I think, have kind of conspired to have them have a slow start.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the offense thus far. I'm going to flip things over to the defense. And again, for a lot of those who don't know, you know, Tampa 2 is called Tampa 2 because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, basically invented it and became experts at it. How have you seen the transition into that Tampa 2 defense from a personnel standpoint? I think, you know, Lavonte David, in our eyes, from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, is a flat-out baller. That, you know, he's a stat-stuffing type of linebacker. But how has that adjustment been? Because they still are, you know, 32nd in total yards and 32nd in points per game.
Yeah, well, they had two just blow-up games, you know, at Atlanta when they gave up 56 points. Joe McCoy was injured, did not play. And then, of course, the game against Baltimore. You know, they got the big pieces, right? They got the three technique in Joe McCoy, who's coming off a broken hand, has played through that for the most part. They've got Lavonte David, as you mentioned. The back end's been a problem. That guy's hurt. Mark Barron didn't work out. You know, that's been an issue. The biggest thing is, you're going to play that scheme. You have to rush four, and you have to get pressure on the quarterback by rushing four. And Michael Johnson, who's a free agent they got from Cincinnati, promising guy, injured his ankle on the second or third play of the season, and he's just not really been himself. And so they've not had anyone to follow Gerald McCoy with this pass rush. And, you know, if you don't do that, then it's you know, either the coverage is really good and the guys don't get there, or the guys get the quarterback off his spot, and we saw last week where the coverage isn't quite as good, and Jonathan Banks drops a ball that should have been an interception and ended the game. So that's sort of what they're battling right now. Again, it starts up front. They just don't have enough guys to come along with Joe McCoy right now.
And you talked about the back end struggling, and we saw that certainly in the game against the Baltimore Ravens. But Altron Werner comes in and has a tough task, because I know that Lovie thought he was more of a cover two corner, and that's why they decided to part ways from Revis. But he hasn't come in and played at the level you wanted. Jonathan Banks is struggling. The slot corner, Larry Johnson, struggling at times. What do you see from the back end of this defense that now lost, you know, a guy in Mark Barron, and now we'll have another backup in there trying to kind of contain and battle against this Browns offense?
Well, it is tough. Again, you know, if you can't get pressure, it's going to be hard for anybody to keep those receivers from having big days. I actually think Verner is going to be a good cover two corner, because the one thing you have to do in this defense as a corner is you have to be willing to tackle. I think Verner can tackle. I think Jonathan Banks can tackle. You know, from a safety standpoint, we have two guys that were very similar. You know, big physical guys who can come down, still in the box and play the run, but neither one were terrific. You know, sort of in coverage, in covering space. And, you know, even though it's a Tampa 2, they still play a lot of single high safety men under like everybody does. You have to have guys that can react and cover space in the passing game. So they believe, and we'll see, that Major Wright, who played a lot with Lovie Smith in Chicago as a free safety or strong safety, and then, you know, alternating between him and Deshaun, who's a bigger body, between the two of them, that they'll actually be more sound on the back end than they were with Mark Barron and Deshaun. And that remains to be seen, but that's their theory.
Rick, thank you so much for the time. As you look at this game, last question, how do you see it playing out here? It is a Call Your Shot Friday on our show, so go ahead and call your shot. How do you think the Bucs and the Browns plays out Sunday at First Energy Stadium?
Well, it's going to be tough, I think, for the Bucs, mainly because their offensive line has been the issue, and now whether he's played well or not, you lose your starting left tackle. So, you know, they've had trouble running the football. If they can't do that, they're going to be a big bad place. And I think, you know, for this football team to win right now, the defense has to start getting turnovers. It's the one element they've been missing, even when they've played well. So for them to win, they'll have to shut down the running game completely, and that might be able to, you know, they may be able to have some success with that with the Browns. If they can get Brian Hoyer, force him in some predictable passing downs, maybe they get their hands on a few footballs. But that's really the only way with field position I think they win this game.
Appreciate the time. Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times, thanks for being with us. And it's good to get you reunited with Joe Gervicius.
Rick,
good
to talk to you, man.
Good luck to your family, man.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Rick Stroud on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, wrapping up our first hour here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we come back, hour number two will kick off with a look at this weekend's NFL slate. We'll talk real quickly about last night's game between Carolina and the New Orleans Saints. Mary Kay Cabot, 215. Friday Forecast, 230. And call your shot, 216-578-0850, when CBD returns here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Turn this thing around at the next red line.